The following programming is sponsored by Bruce Grossinger. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Welcome into Rover Sports. Beautiful Tuesday night here. We are live on 97.5 FM HD2, 860 AM WWDB. We are on Bruce Grossinger Facebook, and we are live. We want to thank Colin Newby for producing the show. We've got Spencer G, Josh Dacey, Charlie Bowles. Dr. Stephen Lewis is on location. Hopefully we'll be chiming in, but I know he will be weighing in on the Fearless Pick. So it's a great night, and we're starting a bit early tonight because we encourage everybody to watch the presidential debate. I think it's important to stay informed and pay attention. But that's all the politics you'll ever get here. But nonetheless, we are here in Philadelphia. A glorious night. 83 degrees in the fall in September. And this team and this city are basking in an undefeated season so far. They're 1-0. The Philadelphia Eagles prevailed against the Green Bay Packers. And they prevailed with an interesting score. 34-29, almost a touchdown, and a lot to unpack in the game. We, Spencer and I, have done a few live streams, but we wanted to wait till our regular time tonight to tell you all about our feelings about that wild, wacky, slipperizing, weird game in Brazil where the Eagles prevailed. Certainly an uneven game. What are your thoughts, Spence?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that it was you know, there was a lot of offense in the game, especially in the next couple of quarters. Like after the first quarter, the Eagles did a tremendous job of not panicking. I mean, the first couple series, you had a interception on a third and long, which is when turnovers happen, laid up the middle. And then you had a snap malfunction with Jalen Hurts that resulted in a fumble. So Green Bay had the ball right in the red zone twice. They didn't score a touchdown on both drives, and it came back to hurt them. Saquon Barkley was really the story of the game. He ran for three touchdowns. The offensive line, even without, ran for two, hauled in one. The offensive line in the second half, even Mekhi Becton, they were able to lean on Green Bay. And I just think that Jeff Stoutland's maybe one of the best coaches that we've seen in, like, mixing and matching roles. So there's a lot to be encouraged from. I loved Kellen Moore's play calling. And then to end the game, when you needed that six-minute drill, they put on a clinic, running out the clock and ensuring a Jake Elliott field goal to just go out there and win. So for Green Bay, there were some explosive plays. Jaden Reed had a nice game. Jordan Love showed some talent. Now, it was awful what happened to him. He might be out a month or 2 months. You know, kind of, Josh, a freak injury from Jordan Love. What did you think about Love, the Packers, and what did you think about, like, the Eagles' defense in this game?
I mean, I thought Zach Baum was pretty good. I really did. He had two sacks. He gave a lot of pressure up front. Quinion Mitchell, first-round pick, he's played very strong, played almost every play for the Eagles. That's what they expected. He had a great camp. And they're very high on him. And defensively, they shut him down, you know. I mean, Josh Jacobs, good running back early. But Jordan Love, he's a solid player, but he just couldn't find it. You know, they had two key opportunities. Jalen, you mentioned Jalen Hurts' fumble, his interception early. You got to capitalize on this. This is the NFL. If you don't capitalize in the red zone, this is what happens. You come up short at the end. And that's what happened. The Eagles did a good job. I thought defensively, like I said, love Zach Baum. He was all over the field making plays. Mitchell was a solid player. We got a decent pass rush stack. The Eagles, their offense is pretty explosive. Saquon, he adds another dimension. If I was a Giants fan right now, I would want to strangle the general manager. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw inside the NFL, but Mora, the owner, did not want to lose Saquon. And him going to a rival and seeing Saquon put up three touchdowns, and that offense up in New York, Spencer, absolutely abysmal. Daniel Jones is a joke. I mean, that might be the outside of the Carolina Panthers, that might be the worst offense.
Yeah, Josh, you're absolutely right. But the thing is that the Philadelphia Eagles, they have two really good receivers in Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. You also have a tight end in Dallas Goedert. So I don't think the Giants could have blocked. I don't think that the scheme is as good as the Eagles' scheme. I don't think Dable and the Giants kind of – Saquon Barkley was a decent player for the Giants, but he didn't win games. Like, Josh – he won one playoff game, Saquon Barkley, in 6 years. So that's the thing. Like, when we look about Giants all-time great players, you have Brandon Jacobs, Ahmad Bradshaw. Those guys have rings. Saquon Barkley didn't do that.
But you didn't build a team around them. Let's be honest. Your offensive line, you keep talking about this offensive line. Eagles, they've had to rebuild their offensive line this year, okay? And they're doing that. Not only with Lane Johnson, he's got Lane Johnson, but you got Mekhi Becton up there. You're replacing with Jason Kelsey, one of the greatest Eagles of all time, with Cam Jurgens. So it is... they are building their offense in. They are building their offense in and around a good offense. They just replaced a couple guys, Spence. So I got to be honest with you. The Eagles did something that the Giants don't do.
They adapt.
There's one thing I was very surprised about. In the beginning of the game, after the Eagles were turning over the ball, their defense played like blocks of granite. They literally held them for almost 20 plays inside the 20, inside the 10. And, yeah, they got worn out. Yeah, they got exposed a little bit with Jaden Reed, who's a burner. He burned him in the second quarter. But if you look at the solid part of that defense, if you look at Carter and Davis and Baum, this guy, Zach Baum, everybody was talking about him. I really didn't see him. People like Seth Joyner were really surprised. 15 tackles, 2 sacks. He was just as good coming across the edge. He's also a very interesting guy. He's an incredible athlete, so... this guy is a great basketball player. He doesn't look like it, but he's a great basketball player. I think in high school, he somehow scored, like, I don't know if he was a quarterback or a running, whatever he was, he had thousands of points. So this guy's a freak. We have to tip our head or hat to Howie Roseman. And you didn't see this guy at all in preseason. This guy came out of nowhere. Quinyon Mitchell, another story. Quinyon Mitchell just looks like a 5-year pro. He's in there. He's getting his hand, he's getting his nose in every play, and just as good as advertised. Charlie Bowles, first I want to mention sincere condolences on the passing of your mother, Charlie, and likewise, congratulations to Julie. What a bittersweet weekend last week in Virginia, but as always, we love you very much to the Rover family. Spencer, you want to add to that? Go ahead.
Let's just take a quick moment of silence here for Charlie Bowles' lovely mother.
Thank you, Spencer. I appreciate
and,
that.
And Charlie, we're here for you. We love you. I'm so proud of everything you've done and Julie and your lovely family. We all love you and pray for your mother. And it's great for you to join us here today and hopefully talk some football. You know, our show, nothing is really as important as family. This is kind of our escape, Bruce, I would say, this show, but it's a blessing to talk to you, I would say.
Thank you. And I know Charlie was in Virginia. I'm sure he saw some of the game back. As far as what you saw from the game on Friday night, your thoughts?
First off, I can't tell you how much I appreciate everything you guys have said. It means the world to me. And my wife said, like, when I talked to her about tonight, she said, are you kidding me? You will be there with your family on that show. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, the support. It's meant the world to me. I saw Friday was kind of a whirlwind night, but I did see some of, you know, probably minutes, and I guess I'm echoing a lot at this point. I usually kind of have a lot of thoughts, but on this, I guess I'm kind of I'm limited. But I would say two names, Quinyon Mitchell, which everyone else has said, and I think Cameron Jurgens. I think he got he got a lot of, you know, for a missed snap. Hurts was yelling at him on the sideline. But if you look at the breakdown, that, you know, he was all over the field. I mean, the guy came to play. He was stout behind there. I mean, he blocked exceptionally at an all-pro level. I know everyone wants to talk about the fumbles, but I think fundamentally that guy was rock solid. And Philly, once he get, and he'll get that under control, I think Philly will be in great shape.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we could look back to Nebraska. Yeah, there's a learning curve. When he started out as a center, back as a freshman in Nebraska, he had way more problems than that. He had more than one bad snap. So I think that might have been a little bit of nerves. We can certainly make an excuse. The field was extremely slippery. It seems like half the camera work in the first half were trainers just unscrewing and screwing in cleats. I mean, that's a sorry excuse for a football field. And even though, ironically, they actually weave the same constitution of grass. This is interesting to me. You probably heard this, Josh. There, if you look at the lake, if you look at Lambeau, it's not all grass. It's kind of a mixture of synthetic. They weave grass in there. So they did all that. But unfortunately, they ignored basic physics. It's 62 degrees, right? 90% humidity. There's a thing called condensation. When things are cold and there's a lot of moisture in the air, what happens is condensation. And where did the condensation go? It went right onto that field. And it was ridiculous. These guys were sliding all over the place. I mean, guys weren't getting tackled. They were slipping. And we were having a debate. Obviously, many of us here, we have a tech stream and a Rover Sports and a thing called the Elite Eight. I think most of our discussion was who has the advantage, you know, the defense or the offense. And we didn't really have a consensus. I guess on one hand, when there's a really wet field, the offense, they kind of know where they're going, but they've got a cut. Yeah. And it seems like whatever guy's cut, they fell down. The defense is stationary. But in any event, that was a sorry excuse for a field. It's abominable that they went to Brazil. The fact that the majority of fans in the opener were not from North America, not from Green Bay and all. And you see Roger Goodell, you know, I would say, and I mean this as a nonviolent guy, the most punchable face you could see is Roger Goodell sitting there with the big smile on his face. If he wanted to vacation in Brazil, Roger should have done it. Certainly with his $20 million a year salary, he could do it. And I think it's abominable that they played that game in Brazil and deprived us, that is the Phillies fans, the Phillies, the Eagles fans, of the opportunity to play one of the best teams on the schedule, Green Bay Packers, here at home. And I think that was ridiculous. Josh, go ahead.
Doc, I couldn't agree more with you. I know they keep trying to push this. Let's grow the game. Let's grow the game. No one wanted to travel to Brazil. The players didn't want to go. When players are asked questions, by the way, some people will be like, hey, we're going to a new city, okay? And they'd be like, great, let's go explore it. They were told to stay in their hotel rooms. They were not allowed out. Devontae Smith, who was the least controversial player you're going to find, they asked him, are you excited to play? He goes, no comment. I'm here to play football. Let's go. It was 9.5 hours for Philadelphia, 10.5 hours for Green Bay. You know, the only caveat to that is the Eagles have play Monday night. They get an extra extended period to come back from that when they play Atlanta. And Atlanta looks abysmal. So,
well Josh,
they do.
Here's
ahead,
the
Spence.
Thing. I mean, I covered this show, but I didn't want to watch the game. I don't want to reward this type of decision making. And then Roger Goodell has the gall to say that his goal is to add 16 international games. He probably wants to add a franchise outside of the United States. He just wants power. He just wants money. He does not care about the fans whatsoever. Right. What, Josh? What are you going
to
say?
Here's the deal. The owners have to sign off on this. He's the representative of them. And who's the owner down in Jacksonville? He's been pushing for a team over in London for a long time. That's why they play a lot of games over there. They're talking about they're always sold out over there. The people love football over there. If the owners didn't want something, they would shut it down. Goodell's a caveat to that.
No, I think I give you credit there. So the fact of the matter is the commissioner is a voice of the owners. You got to blame Jeffrey Lurie.
Sure.
Jeffrey Lurie should have put his foot down. He knows how loyal these fans are. There are many fans here in Philadelphia that spend a large portion of their paycheck to attend these Eagles games. And the fact that four out of the first five games, which normally should be a party here in Philadelphia, days like today, Josh, it was beautiful. Before I came here, or I came from the driving range for an hour, it couldn't have been any better. Now, why the heck could we not have played a home game here at Lincoln Financial Field? Spencer, as it turns out, there wasn't a game. So Spencer wanted to watch football. He went up the turnpike. He saw a dog show. He saw the Giants. destroy the Vikings. But how was the weather out there? How was it? Was it festive out there?
Well, the Giants destroyed the Vikings 25 years ago back in the Stone Ages with Kerry Collins and Jim Fossil. But really, they made Sam Darnold look like the second coming of Johnny Unitas out there. And I mean, and those uniforms, again, they bought them from the thrift store right there in where Bill Parcells grew up, right where Jimmy Hoffa, the bodies are buried, right in Hohokus. They got those jerseys right there at Modell's. But, you know, it was so great to see an NFL football game. It was tremendous. Now there's 17 games, and you see a lot of sloppy play week one all around the NFL. Kirk Cousins sloppy, Caleb Williams, Will Levis. So the Eagles game and the Chiefs game, ironically, were some of the higher scoring games that you're going to see. But I'd really be feeling sick if you're a Packers fan. Jordan Love slips on that field. He's going to be out for a long time. The Eagles luckily came away unscathed. That's the key with week one. You win the game and then you also don't get injured. But the Philadelphia Eagles, Josh, every year they are, throw this to Charlie. Charlie, it is impressive that every year the Eagles are competitive. They seem to reload with the salary cap. And you have teams like the New York Giants that have one playoff win in 12 years. One playoff win in 12 years, a franchise that has won four championships, a franchise with some of the best facilities and one of the oldest franchises in the league, cannot seem to get the coach or the quarterback or get offense right. Isn't it pretty astounding, just Giants football, how just it is just been awful, actually, for let's just call it a dozen years, Charlie?
Yeah, I think the Giants played Russian roulette with Saquon Barkley and lost. I think that you can see how truly mystified they were when actually the Philly made an offer. And I think if I understood it right, Barkley never gave them a chance to match after he signed with Philly. Again, they obviously they don't have the right quarterback. And in this league, you know, it's amazing when you talk about difficult jobs like surgeons and everything like that. There are less than 10 people on planet Earth who can play at a high, high, high level, meaning like a superior level, maybe even less than that these days. And the Giants don't have their guy. And look, this is going to cost the head coach's job. He's all in with him now, and I think he's going to be on a boat without a paddle, and I think he's going to be fired. Daboll will be gone by Thanksgiving. And I think this team, in my opinion, if you're a GM, you're either all in or you're all out, meaning you're rebuilding, or you're going for a championship. This team can't figure out which one they are. They think that, you know, they're going to add a couple players and compete, or they're just going to rebuild. They seem to be caught in purgatory, and I think that's nowhere to be as a GM.
Charlie, I have another question. I know since our last show, there were two huge signings in Dallas. I think we talked about CeeDee Lamb last week, $220 million. Now Dak Prescott, $250 million for 4 years. We have a lot of friends that are in Dallas. We interface with a lot of the media in Dallas. I'd say the majority of people were on the fence about Dak Prescott. And I don't have a calculator here, but if you imagine there's a certain finite salary cap, $250, $220 million, that's $470 million locked up with two players. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think anyone who sees Deshaun Watson play should really think before they sign anyone these days, because that could be the worst contract in NFL history. With Prescott, look, he came out and let's face it, he was pretty impressive. They don't have a ton of weapons. They really have CeeDee Lamb and maybe Cooks, who's basically he's a third receiver on any good team at best. So Prescott has proven he can get to the playoffs. I can tell you what, right now, Mike McCarthy's job's on the line as well. If Dak Prescott does not get to the NFC Championship, I think he loses his job, and I think Dallas is going to be in a situation where they can't sign anybody because they're so top-heavy.
Without doubt.
I think Prescott, you know, was he impressive, honestly? I thought he played great on Sunday. We'll see in the playoffs.
Okay, so, excuse me, I turned the volume the wrong way. So I want to ask Josh a question. We've already covered, obviously, we talked about the Giants. Spencer and I did a long review of the Giants. Most people saw it, you know, about 1,000 people. Abysmal. Danny Dimes is terrible, toothless defense. It reminded me a lot of the offense last year. I thought Brian Johnson was calling the plays for the Giants. I watched 20 minutes of highlights, and there were virtually two completed passes to Malik Nabers. That was it. And it's just a shame because the Giants actually had the privilege of a home game. They honor a lot of their, at a 100-year anniversary, they honor a lot of their stars. We didn't have that privilege. But I also saw the Washington Redskins game. So there's only four teams in the NFC East. The Redskins played the Tampa Bay Bucs. Baker Mayfield, who's our, I'll say he's our new friend.
Because he's a friend.
We got to hang out with him.
We're tight. I grew up, I saw him on Lake Travis with him. And, I just have known Baker for a long time.
No, so Baker has to be a great guy. We love Baker, except when he plays the Eagles. And unfortunately, he's going to be playing him in a few weeks. So look at Tampa Bay. Mike Evans played great. Baker, very efficient. And when you see the Redskins, we always call them that. The Commanders is probably the worst name in sports. We always honor our Native American brothers here on Rover Sports.
We always say that every show.
We always say that.
It's always an announcement.
What did you think of so in other words, we're talking about McCarthy getting fired. But I can't envision, unless there's an injury, I can't see the Cowboys finishing behind either the Giants or the Redskins. Josh, what did you see in that Redskins game?
I mean, Jaden Daniels is the first-year quarterback, and he won his game. Now he's also a guy that continues. He did a solid performance with his leg, with the arm. He threw for over 180 yards. But, Doc, he can compete, and he's a mobile quarterback. He scored two touchdowns with his legs. He can compete on the ground. Brian Robinson.
So it's early. So you're saying it's 0-1. Well, don't take the bridge yet. No. Don't get stuck on the Beltway if you're a Redskins fan. But obviously, so we'll put the Redskins in a different bucket than sure. The Giants. Spencer, your thoughts?
Yeah, so I think that the Redskins, I mean, if they're on the Beltway, they're hauling up their equipment and getting ready to go. I think that they are, like Charlie said, I think they are rebuilding the right way. Like, I like Adam Peters. I like that general manager. They have a lot of draft picks. They know who they are. They're not contending. But the Giants, as Charlie illustrated beautifully, they went out there and signed Brian Burns, and they paid him, I think, maybe one of the highest contracts for a defensive end. Like, they're paying him $30 million as a defensive end. He was nowhere. He only had one tackle. So it's so interesting. When we talk about McCarthy, the guy, honestly, maybe I'm not the biggest fan of McCarthy, but guess what? Mike McCarthy is a decent coach. He still makes the playoffs. The Cowboys still finish about 90%. The Cowboys still finish about 90% better than the rest of the NFL. But most of the NFL doesn't make the playoffs. Most of the NFL doesn't win divisions like the Cowboys. Who's going to want that job? You have no mobility with signing any players. Dak Prescott is just going to, he's in his prime. He's just going to get worse when he's 34 years old. You're trotting out Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, that team is so capped and they have no mobility. Who's going to want that job? Now Jerry will pay maybe Lincoln Riley a ton of money, so you'll get paid a lot. But again, it's not fun. Like, the Redskins, at least you can kind of craft, or you actually have freedom to get a quarterback and build it yourself.
That's true. And also, I look at Josh Harris, to his credit, he really is not a meddling owner here for the Sixers. I don't like the fact that he owns the Jersey Devils or owns the Washington Redskins. That bothers me. But at least as an owner, I think he's pretty hands-off, whereas Jerry Jones, you know, is hands-on, and the GM, kind of a very annoying guy as a Philly fan. It's always easy to dislike the Cowboys, but Jerry Jones is just especially easy to dislike. We're going to take a quick station break. We'll be back with our fearless picks.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30. 30 for Rover Sports.
Welcome back to Rover Sports. We want to thank Philadelphia PRP and Stem Cell Institute, our sponsor, our lead sponsor. This is a practice that I know a lot about, and it's Spencer as well. We actually work in the practice. We provide regenerative medicine to all of you out there who have problems with your spine, your shoulder, your knees, your hands, your elbows, whatever. You don't want surgery. You don't want to be in therapy for 6 months. You don't want to be on dangerous drugs. The answer is platelet-rich plasma, condensing 2 million platelets per deciliter and injecting it into your joint and then just basically icing it and going along with your life. That's what PRP is. Concentrated bone marrow, the explosion, the Ferrari of explosive mesenchymal stem cells in your joints or your low back. We can talk about a lot of active and former Philadelphia Eagles, of all people, who have been gracing our office there in Ridley Township, right adjacent to Philly. So again, we want to thank our lead sponsor, Philadelphia PRP and Stem Cell Institute. Operators on duty 24-7, 610-521-6063. It's that time again. We are racing to the finish line on a beautiful Tuesday night. And Commissioner Josh Dacey is teeing up the Fearless Picks for the week. And again, just to review, it's myself. We're gonna go around the horn in this direction. It's going to be myself, Spencer, Josh, Colin, and Charlie. Now, the reason I do that is because I'm not that smart, and I've got to be able to keep track of things. So I can keep track of a circle rather than an isosceles triangle. With that, Spencer, it sounds like you want to say something.
I
want
to say one thing. Like,
go ahead.
Before we start out, Josh is going to get these picks. Once again, I wanted to say, like, Charlie, this might be the worst slate of college football games this week. I think the NFL actually has a beat. I mean, your boys are going up to Wisconsin, but other than that, gosh, you've seen the slate, haven't you, Charlie?
Yeah, I'll be there in Wisconsin, rooting them on. I'm still, again, I'll be, my mom would have wanted me to go, so it's planned, and I'm, every after the service is Thursday, I'll be on a plane Friday morning.
Well, that's great. Madison, Wisconsin is a very beautiful spot. And we want to wish you, you know, Godspeed with you and your family. And I myself, I'm going to be, my daughter is going to be taking the MCAT some godforsaken place. So I'm going to be away the end of the week. But we want to wish everybody I know on Facebook, there's a lot of beautiful tributes to your mother. And you have services planned and visitation on Thursday. So I want to, again, honor your mother as we move into this this last segment. Sports is trivial when it comes to family. And again, I have the pleasure to share with my son, and I feel my son's big brother, Josh, and you, yeah. Charlie, and Colin. This is really a family here. Dr. Lewis is a brother, and he's at a special conference tonight. So I just got word that he's attending a medical conference. He's the head of a group, and he's very responsible. But having said that, in our last 20 minutes, we're going to dive right into the Fearless Six.
And I followed my older brother into the abyss. Cincinnati Bengals. We'll do the survivor pool.
We'll talk about the suicide pool later.
Okay, so let's go. It was a solid week for everybody. It really was. Dr. Grossinger, we went 5-1 overall. Okay, I too went 5-1. Colin went 4-2. Spencer went 4-2. Charlie went 4-2, and Dr. Lewis went 3-3. So let's tee it up right off the bat. We get Thursday night's game, Buffalo. Buffalo was down 17 at one point, comes all the way back, and they knock off Arizona. They're taking on Miami-Dade. Now, the only people that could slow down Tyreek Hill was the Miami-Dade police when they handcuffed him early, but he got loose late. Doc,
he
and
sure
they
did.
They won. They ended up winning that game. They came back from 17 down as well. Miami, Buffalo at Miami Thursday night. Miami giving up 1.5. Spencer, where are we going?
Well, actually, you want to go first.
I'm going to go first because remember, I got to keep track of this.
Yes.
So the game is in Miami, and who gets that 1.5?
Buffalo does.
Buffalo gets 1.5. Okay, I am going to pick the Buffalo Bills. I think that the Bills are certainly familiar with Miami Stadium at Hard Rock Stadium. They're just a better team. I do like Miami. I believe the reverberations of the Tyreek Hill, it's much like Scottie Scheffler. If you remember Scottie Scheffler, when he got arrested, the immediately when he had the adrenaline, he played really well. But what happened the next day? He fell apart. So I believe there are repercussions. Very embarrassing video. I'd be embarrassed if I were Tyreek Hill. Very disgraceful behavior on his part. I don't think that is not going to have a ripple effect. I think it will have a ripple effect on Miami. It's going to be very distracting all week long. Buffalo is going to come in, take care of business. I'm taking the Bills in this game. Spence.
Yeah, tough situation, obviously, with Tyreek Hill. However, Buffalo swept Miami last year. Buffalo's the Kings, but this is the time to play them. You know, it's warm out. Tua in cold weather hasn't thrown the ball effectively. Jalen Waddle, a big game last week, 96 yards. This is the perfect time to get Buffalo, which is early in the season. So I'm going to roll with the Miami Dolphins here, winning this divisional matchup.
Coach Stacey.
I got to agree with you, Spencer. Jalen Waddle looks good. Tyreek Hill looks good. Devin Achane looked really good. There's too many weapons. And as much as I love Buffalo and their comeback mentality, I'm taking Miami to win.
Colin Newby.
I've got Miami, too, especially they sometimes look like an early season team. I got a win and a cover for the Dolphins.
Charlie.
Man, that line, only 1.5 at home. Miami's playing great. Buffalo wins again.
Oh, goes with Buffalo. I got some company of the Buffalo train. Buffalo wigs. Go ahead.
The most impressive team all weekend was the New Orleans Saints. David Carr has that thing rolling a little bit. Now, Carolina looks like a JV football team. Bryce Young, sorry, Charlie. I don't know what's going on down there in Charlotte, but they travel to the highest paid, to a higher paid team in Dallas. Dallas played Cleveland. They won. They covered. Dallas has given up 6.5 against a hot, very hot New Orleans team.
Okay, I'll take this game. The thing about the NFL that I find, that I think is almost predictable, is the variation from week to week. And I think they were on a great high. They destroyed the Panthers. They were at home. They're now going to Dallas. I don't think they're a particularly good away team. Dallas, I think those guys are going to be real comfortable. They are playing at home. They do have a very good home crowd advantage. I've been to AT&T Stadium. It's very loud. It's a huge place. I think that Dallas will win by 2 to 3 touches. I think this is going to be a blowaway. I have a pretty good feeling. It's not my lock of the week, but I'm taking Dallas over the Saints. Give the points.
You know what, Bruce? You mentioned on the show that you were related to me, and in fact, you're responsible for bringing me into the world and our brains.
Partially. Your mother had something to do with it, but let's not get hung up with details.
50%. Still 50%.
Absolutely. I'll take that. Go ahead.
Your brain thinks like me on this game because New Orleans, they beat Carolina, you know, Derek Carr. I just think Derek Carr is going to resort back to who he's been, which has been an okay quarterback, but a seesaw player. Like one week he looks fantastic, the other week he comes down. And on the road, they're going to face adversity in Dallas. I would love nothing more than to see, actually, this ragtag Saints team with Dennis Allen, who the Saints fans want to get rid of Dennis Allen. I really want to see New Orleans go in there and beat Dallas, but until New Orleans proves that they're different this year, Dallas is a great, great home team. And I think that the Cowboys win as well.
Josh?
New Orleans had a great defense last week. David Carr, Alvin Kamara, say whatever you want. They're playing Dallas. I think Dallas is on a mission this year. I think they have something to prove, so I'm taking the Cowboys.
Colin?
Yeah, I've seen this story before with Dallas. They always rack up the style points in September. I like them to cover.
Charlie Bowles?
30-24 Dallas, which means New Orleans cover. Look at the Arizona Cardinals, same kind of game. New Orleans covers.
New Orleans covers. Charlie has spoken. Game 3.
All right, Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield looking very strong. Mike Evans, like the sun rises in the east, he shows up every week for games. He had 2 touchdowns. Playing Detroit, and I tell you what, Dan Campbell was not much of a fan of the rah-rah. He's got that team playing well. Jamar Gibbs, Jared Goff, Jameson Williams, a stud last week.
Big breakout even over St. Brown was Williams last week.
Exactly right, Spencer. Tampa Bay travels to Detroit. Detroit giving up 7.
Well, I think that, you notice I'm pausing and thinking. I usually don't pause very much. I think this is probably the most difficult game to predict because Tampa is getting 7 in this game at Detroit. I'm going to have to pick a side. I'm going to believe that the Lions are who we thought we were last year. And I think that, again, Tampa is notoriously a good home team, a bad away team. They're traveling away, very loud stadium. I don't like indoor stadiums, but I think it's just going to be definitely loud. I think Baker's going to resort to an old problem. What Baker does is, a lot of times he resort to falling back deep in the pocket. The further he goes back in the pocket, the lower his completion percentage. So I think that's not enough points for me. I'm taking the Lions at home.
Guess what? I actually am more confident in this game than I think the others because Detroit just had a very emotional win, you know, over the Rams with Stafford. They had to come back. It was a physical, long football game that ended on Sunday night. I look at Liam Cohen, the offensive coordinator for the Bucs, and I think that this Bucs team, I mean, you know, you have Baker, you have Bucky Irving. That's so many points for a Detroit defense that I think is spotty. So you could either get a very late cover or Tampa can win this outright. So I'll go with a little upset special. I like Tampa Bay to win the game outright.
You know, Spencer, you bring up a great point. Mike Evans, Baker Mayfield just looks like he's on fire. As much as Dak, first of all, Doc, I think if Detroit wins this game, we could bump them up in the power rankings. So I definitely think it's Tampa Bay's game to win. So I'm taking Tampa.
Colin Newby.
I think the Bucs are a decent team, and you're getting a 7-point spread here. I like Tampa to cover.
Charlie?
I think Detroit dressing up as a favorite every week is new to them. I think a 7-point line, you know, again, looks real attractive. Remember, Tampa lost in that playoff game last year. They got a bit of revenge on their mind. I think it's a close game. I'll take Tampa in the 7.
Next game. This is game 4?
Game 4. You have the 1-0 Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams painting his fingernails, who had less than 100 yards passing, somehow came back from 7.
Somehow they won, I guess, through special teams, defense.
They won because Will Levis threw the banana peel interception,
that was
remember?
The worst play. I think we could agree that Will Levis' shovel pass to nowhere, that was a play that was just desperation. By far the worst play I saw all weekend.
That was, Josh, how that embarrassing was that interception?
Josh, what do you think of that play?
Yeah, it was terrible. Guys, but here's the point. Ready for this? 3 teams came from 17 down in halftime. And Will Levis is one of those teams, and Chicago came back, and their defense was very strong. We talk about their defense. That was their best aspect of the game. I mean, people were criticizing Caleb Williams because of all the hype Chicago was shoveling, how great he was. He scored. Someone compared it to, like, the guy that shows up and gets credit for the A-plus project, you know, yeah. In a group work.
You're in a group, but you're just basically sleeping, it's like, and you're with the smart guy. So that's how Caleb was. I would say that was the coattails effect. So he had the coattails effect from the defense and the special teams. A lot of weird special teams plays in that game. So what is this game? The Bears, I presume, are in this game?
This could be a really fun game.
Chicago at Houston. Houston was solid. You know, C.J. Stroud looked good. Joe Mixon looked good. I mean, Nico Collins looked solid. Houston looks just as good as they did last year.
So Bears are getting points, I would think.
Yes, they're getting 6.5.
Ooh.
That's a lot of points. Okay.
Currently up to 7, actually, in Vegas. But
currently up to 7.
Right,
okay.
We can change that.
So we'll call up to 7. And what I would say is, again, I'm thinking about this one. We're talking Houston.
Yeah.
I think Houston is for real. They've got a good home crowd. You named all the stars. And I think the Bears are not going to be ready to travel. They're just not ready to travel. I think Houston's going to have some surprises. They're going to have some blitz packages. And this is a rookie QB. And I was so big on high on Bo Nix. That was my one loss because I just have to put the right emphasis on rookie quarterback Caleb Williams. I think it's going to be a nightmare for him in Houston. And I think that Houston will win the game, give the Bears the points. It's a lot of points, but again, I'm taking a lot of home teams. I do believe in the home crowd, especially earlier in the year. I like the Texans in this game.
Yes, Bruce, and we just have actually a special announcement for our last two picks. We're going to have a special guest picker that I'm going to go downstairs, and that person will arrive up here for the last couple of picks.
Make sure he's up quick because we've got 9 minutes
but
left.
But I am going to take Houston in this spot. I like the Texans here with all their weapons to win.
Okay, what I'm going to do is just to go out of order a little bit. Okay, never mind. Okay, just be quick. So we're going to so as far as that game's concerned, I think there is a guest who's coming up. I think it's going to be Mr. Benjamin Fogel who's be coming in to pick for a couple. He's not going to be part of the poll, but every now and then we bring a surprise guest in. So, Josh, the game itself, Houston, Bears, what are your thoughts on the game? More importantly, what's your analysis of the game?
I think C.J. Stroud is a real deal. I mean, I think he plays really well. He's done that offense and their defense is just so good. Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs looked really solid last week, Doc. This team, I think, could be a real threat come January. I really do. I like them. I like the points. I think Caleb Williams is exactly what other coaches, in fact, Bill Belichick said, any guy who travels a month and a half after he's drafted to France, he worries about. So that's where, Caleb Williams went.
That reminds me of Ben Simmons.
Exactly.
Like, Ben Simmons would be traveling to Los Angeles. He'd be thinking about Kardashians and mansions. The fact that this guy is all Hollywood, all glitz, going to France,
I think it's a very ominous sign. And I think certainly as a bettor, I would lead it to, obviously I agree with you there.
Yeah.
So you're taking the Houston Texans as a whole.
Yeah.
Kyle Adubi.
I'm going to take the Texans too. They got a lot of firepower. The Bears are probably due for some bad luck after last week.
Charlie Bowles.
I think it might help that, I mean, look, any dude who wears nail polish, I really cringe. I don't care. Again, I don't know if you guys heard the, I'm sure you did, that the our newest Sixer was dressed up as a woman in church on Sunday, which is just frightening.
Yeah, but that's not good. You know, I wasn't, just to go to that pick, I wasn't a fan of him because of his size, because he's redundant with Maxey. This city is a blue collar place. I don't think we take lightly to that. He might be a TikTok warrior. He might make a lot of money on YouTube. That just doesn't sit well.
In a blue-collar city.
This is a blue-collar city. This is a place. This is where Chuck Bednarik, Todd McDonald, we could go right down, Allen Iverson, Charles Barkley. These are tough guys. Nobody's out there as TikTok warriors.
Aaron Rowan, JT. Well, you can go through the list of Phillies, Charlie, you know, right now. Charlie, who do you like?
I think Houston may have a little letdown here. I think it's going to be tough. You know, again, after they played really well in Indianapolis, they're coming home. I think Chicago could hang around. I mean, I'll take the 7.
Okay.
I think it'll be an interesting game to watch. Some of these matchups are cool because you don't see Houston play Chicago every day. So as much as I thought, you know, the NFL had terrible, they really screwed the Eagles on that pick. A lot of these games are pretty interesting. It's certainly, Josh is a master of picking. When we do our Fearless Six, we're picking 6 great games. So we're now, I believe, we are going to the fifth game. Mr. Fogle, have a seat right there. Pull a microphone around. This guy's no stranger to media. And we have Mr. Benjamino Fogale is in the house, straight off a plane from Brazil. It was him shaking his rambas. Shaking all that stuff, braving the cartel, braving the wildfires, comes back with a case of, and I must say this, conjunctivitis, bronchitis, asthma, and everything else that rhymes with itis. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bruce. I mean, I think we might have breached some doctor-patient confidentiality.
Yeah, I think I did. That was a HIPAA. Three HIPAA violations.
Three HIPAA violations.
And I think most people realize it was tongue-in-cheek. But you're here in time for the last two picks in the Fearless Pool. And also, you can throw, even though you've already died on that rock in the suicide pick, we're still giving you a shot at it anyway. So in any event, we're here to game 5. Mr. Daishi, what do we have here?
The Cincinnati Bengals, who could not, maybe, first of all, Charlie, I saw a stat, 54% of people picking in a suicide pool last week took the Cincinnati Bengals because they were playing.
We certainly represented that.
And I was on that, except for you.
You took the New Orleans.
Except for you. You're 5-1. You should have a private island in Hawaii. You took the New Orleans Saints. You were genius.
I was betting against the Panthers, and that was really sweet. I wasn't worried for a second. I was on my raft, sipping my Mai Tais. I wasn't the Brazil Beach or the Columbia Beach, but I was in the Delco Beach, and it was pretty sweet. Riding those Saints.
So anyway, Cincinnati travels to Kansas City. Kansas City won on the last play by a toe, essentially. Against Baltimore. Cincinnati struggling. Joe Burrow looks average. This is the third straight year that they've actually started off 0-1. They lose Joe Mixon in the offseason. Big things are changing. And Ja'Marr Chase still hasn't gotten his money yet. So Cincinnati traveling to Kansas City. Kansas City, it doesn't matter who Mahomes throws to. He finds somebody. Xavier Worthy now.
Is he giving him a lot of points?
Kansas City's given 6.
Okay. I actually think this, sometimes you just don't want to overthink things. I know Cincinnati's going to be desperate. They don't want to go 0-2. They don't. However, they're going into a team that's, when you talk professional team, this Chiefs team is on a different level. And they're going to be licking their chops. They got a second home game right now. And I believe the Chiefs will win by in excess of 2 touchdowns. And again, I'm picking home. I can see Arrowhead Stadium. Cincinnati is a little off. I've seen Joe Burrow be a notoriously slow starter. Everything for me, arrow up on the Chiefs. I did well 5-1 last week with the same style. I'm leaning into it. I'm taking the Chiefs. Give the points to the Bengals. They're still going to be going sideways.
I'm going to overthink it. I'm going to overthink this one. I'm going to go with the opposite of my dearest father on this one. I know I've ridden with Bruce before.
You don't have to.
I look at Burrow. He has something to prove. I even think Cincinnati was looking ahead to this game in Kansas City. Usually these are classic heavyweight battles. You're getting 6 points. It's the NFL, right? The NFL is so unpredictable that a team like Cincy can look different in a couple of weeks. Cincinnati, outright.
Mr. Ben Fogel, you heard it. You got the Bengals going against those world champion Chiefs. They're getting 6.5 points, which for the most time, you know, you look at Burrow, you look at the Bengals, a solid team, a team that's been on the rise. That's a lot of points. What say you?
I think it's definitely going to be a bounce back game for the Bengals, but 6.5 points, it's still not enough. I think the Chiefs will take it, be at home. It'll still be tough for Burrow to go into Arrowhead and deal with that crowd.
Josh?
I think it doesn't matter who Patrick McCombs has on the field. He could have URI out there. We'd find a way to score a touchdown. I think Cincinnati's off right now. Jamar Chase is too worried about his contract. Kansas City rolls.
Colin?
Bengals.
Bengals. Charlie?
I think when Hollywood Brown comes back, when you combine him with Worthy and Rice, they're going to be so dangerous. And I know I picked Kansas City 3-peat. You know that. I picked that weeks ago. But I think in this particular game, this particular night, T. Higgins back, Chase maybe screws his head on after 0-1, and I think Cincinnati will find a way to cover.
Let's go to Game 6. We're going to do something different this week just because things have moved so quickly. We are going to – I'm going to suspend – everybody, we've already been – 3 guys are already out. I'm going to give them – I'm not bringing them back. I'm not that nice. But we're going to give them a rest. So we are not going to do the suicide poll. I'm going to wait till Dr. Lewis comes back next week. Everybody – there's not going to be anybody to die on the hill this week. And in our limited last minute, let's do some quick picks. I imagine this is the Eagles game.
Monday night.
Eagles, Monday night against the Falcons. I'm sure the Falcons get points.
6.5. Bijan Robinson. I mean, first of all, that team is so bad. Okay, that Atlanta is so bad. 6 field goals won that game with Pittsburgh. Okay, that offense that what's his name?
It's a brilliance of Arthur Smith, Mr. FedEx himself.
It's just shows how bad, you know, Kirk Cousins is fading into the sunset. Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts. They don't every tool that they could possibly have, Doc. They don't have.
So go ahead. I believe you're leading into my pick. I believe the Eagles will be at home. The Eagles, the fans, we get 1 game in the first 5. This is going to be a rowdy spot. It is going to be crazy. It will be the jungle. The Eagles win by 2 touchdowns. Spencer.
Guess what? A lot of times I go against conventional wisdom, but I'm going with the Philadelphia Eagles to cover this game.
Ben.
Go Birds.
He mentions it. Josh?
It's very easy. Stay with the home team. Philadelphia wins. They roll.
Colin?
Eagles.
Okay, we're very home team here. We have one national star, Mr. Bowles. Will you be a contrarian, or were you going to go with the home team? Go ahead.
Kirk Cousins' record in primetime games is abysmal. I mean, it's terrible. He played awful last week, and they're already talking about benching him. Atlanta covers this game.
Oh! And on that note,
Lee Corso puts on the headdress of the Falcon.
So I want to thank everybody. This hour flew by. Woo-hoo. We are Rover Sports. Everybody, stay involved. Watch the debate. Notice the policy issues. That's it. Have a good night. Good night and good sports.
Good night, good sports. Yeah.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com. And tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
What's up, Philadelphia? Welcome back to First Time, Long Time.
I'm Kyle Anubia, 97.5 The Fanatic, and 93.3 WMMR. Coming to you weekly, for now, with the Philly Sports Talk podcast. This is episode 9, and we're rolling in the guests now. We got John Kincaid coming up, morning show host at 97.5 The Fanatic, a sports radio vet going for decades. First, we're going to start it off with some September Phillies conversation, though.
Nobody's waving a flag or anything, but can you talk about what a difference it would be to go in as a division titleist instead of a wild card?
Well, that's a goal, you know. I mean, the first goal is to get in, and the second goal is to win the division. And it just makes life a little bit easier, especially if you're, you know, one of the top two teams. And playing in this building is very important to us because we play better because of all the support from our fan base. So that's a huge goal.
That's Rob Thompson talking to the media last week about how the Phillies want to utilize the rest of the season, what their goals are, how they're happy about kind of burying the Atlanta Braves. The Mets are actually in second place now. But what they've accomplished and what they hope to accomplish from here to the finish line. And everything Rob Thompson said has merit. I've heard so many people talk about the home field advantage at Citizens Bank Park. It's local, yeah, so there's some bias. But so many national people say it constantly that I absolutely believe it. And I do think it's almost like a football atmosphere at a baseball game. The Red October crowd is absolutely wild. You've seen it the past 2 years. You saw it back in 2007 through 2011 when all those teams were going on deep playoff runs. But is it all it's cracked up to be? Is it the deciding factor in a game? And is it the top priority? I don't know if it is, no matter what Rob Thompson might say. The Phillies have a comfortable lead in the NL East. It looks like they're going to win this division. It would take extreme circumstances. Yeah, I know they have 7 games left against the New York Mets. Back in 2007, well, there was a lot of irony there, and unless it's a direct converse situation, the Phillies are going to snap the Atlanta Braves streak of consecutive division championships and win the crown in 2024. Then their attention turns to getting the bye. They have a lead right now on the Milwaukee Brewers. I think that's the most important. They're neck and neck with the Dodgers for the top seed in the National League, but I think it's important to get one of the top two, because that secures the bye in the first round of the postseason. The MLB playoffs in the last couple of years, they've added this 3-game wild card series at the beginning. The Phillies have played in it twice. They've swept both times, 2-0. The likelihood of that happening again, well, it's really not that high. And if you enter that 3-game wild card series right to open the postseason, you can get an early exit. It's just the way that baseball playoffs work. It can be fluky, especially in a shorter series. Just because it hasn't happened in the last 2 years doesn't mean it's not going to happen this year. And I think the likelihood is just so high that Major League Baseball starts to get more upsets in that first series. So if you can stay clear of the Brewers, and they have a 3-game series left with them, out in Milwaukee, that is September 16th through 18th. If the Phillies stay competitive in that series, and by competitive, I mean they don't get swept, I think they're staying ahead of the Milwaukee Brewers in the National League standings. That would mean that the top two division winners, the Phillies and more than likely the LA Dodgers, are going to get the byes. And also, if you get the top seed in the National League, I don't think AL teams like the Yankees or the Orioles are going to catch up and get the best record in baseball either. So that would leave the Phillies and the Dodgers as the competitors for that overall number one seed and home field advantage all the way throughout the postseason. It's an exciting talking point right now to think about Shohei Ohtani and to think about Dodger Stadium and the allure. And if those two teams get to an NLCS, a Phillies-Dodgers matchup like you had back in 2008 and 2009, that's going to be a great storyline for baseball. They look like the two best teams in the National League. They have the two best records in baseball at the time I'm recording. So why isn't home field advantage for that potential NLCS matchup so important? I really don't think it is. Think about the 2022 and 2023 playoffs. You had the NL East and the NL West kind of line up with each other. The Phillies played the Braves in the NLDS both years. The Braves were the division champs. The Phillies were the wild card, but the Phillies beat them both times. Both times when they went to the NLCS, they played NL West teams that had also upset the Dodgers, who were they were division winners both times also. I feel like because it unfolded so cleanly and you had the Phillies making that run in 22 and 23, the Padres in 22, the D-backs in 23, there might be this assumption that an East team is going to play a West team in the NLCS. It's more likely that they don't face each other.